is right. This is CHRY 105.5 FM, your community radio station, and you are tuned in to Amandla, an African perspective, your source for news and views from the African continent. As we are all well aware, an unfortunate massacre occurred this past week in Garissa University in Kenya, and we saw the loss of 147 lives. It was very, very terrible. And joining us on the line to speak about this is Farid Omar. Hello, Farid.
Hello, Omar.
Thanks for joining us today. So maybe you can give, to start off, our listeners a bit of a background of, on what happened on Thursday in Garissa.
Yeah, on Thursday morning around 5:30 a.m., four gunmen from Al-Shabaab militant terrorist group attacked the Garissa University College, which is located about 2 kilometers from Garissa town, the capital of Garissa County, which is located only about 150 kilometers from the Somali border. And then the gunmen started shooting indiscriminately, and they appear to have good information about the university campus, in the way they moved about targeting their civilians. They went straight to a hall where at that time some students were praying, and they started shooting indiscriminately, killing them, most of them. Some played dead, and that's how they survived. And then they went into some classrooms where students were studying, because at that time, students were preparing for exams. It was an exam season in that university. So they killed a lot of students there as well. And then they moved to the dormitories, both the male and female dormitories, and started shooting rapidly, indiscriminately. Some of the students hid in cupboards. Others hid behind, below the beds. Others were able to jump from the dormitories' first floor. Others fled by jumping over the fence. So about 500 students escaped. 120 students were injured, but unfortunately 147 people, actually 148 now, one more person was confirmed today. 148 people died, including 142 students, three police officers, and three soldiers. Mm-hmm. So it was a terrible, terrible and a horrific attack on that university college. And it is a lot of Kenyans are angry because they feel that the Kenyan government is not doing enough to protect its citizens, and that insecurity is on the rise, especially by Al-Shabaab. And in recent months, actually since 2013, 400 people were killed in the northeastern region of Kenya, in Garissa, Wajir, and Mandera counties, by Al-Shabaab attacks. And it is like now, it looks like an escalation by Al-Shabaab in the last 5 months, because mm-hmm. just last December, a group of civil servants traveling to Nairobi from Mandera were attacked in their bus. About 28 were killed, most of them were teachers. And then in early January, a group of men working in a quarry mine were attacked. 34 of them were killed by Al-Shabaab, and now the attack on the Garissa University. So it looks like an ongoing escalation by the Al-Shabaab militants.
And Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility for this attack in Garissa. So can you give us maybe a bit of a background on Al-Shabaab? Who are they? And it's, I mean, it's a very kind of, their attacks are very political, right? It is a message to the Kenyan government to stop interfering in the affairs of Somalia. Can you give us kind of that kind of historical background, but also the political implications of what's going on?
Yeah, Al-Shabaab was formed in 2007 as the youth wing of the Union of Islamic Courts, which in 2006 had liberated much of South Central Somalia, but then was ousted by the intervention of the Ethiopian army at the behest of the U.S. So Al-Shabaab started as a popular uprising resistance movements against the Ethiopian occupation, and many Somalis supported them at that time. And then as years went on, then there was army some troops were deployed to Somalia, and Al-Shabaab intensified its operations throughout central Somalia, but specifically to Kenya. The problem started in 2011 when Kenyan forces invaded Somalia and captured the strategic city of Kismayu in the south, which is located on the Indian Ocean. So from that day, Al-Shabaab declared war on Kenya, and they said that as long as Kenyan troops remain inside Somali territory, they consider it as an occupational force and that they will retaliate. And we have seen that retaliation first in the form of the Westgate Mall attack in 2013, and then we saw many other attacks, sporadic attacks in Nairobi, but more escalation in the northeastern region of Kenya, in the Wajir, Mandera, and Garissa counties, where we see all these attacks by Al-Shabaab, which they said is in retaliation to Kenya's invasion in Somalia. Actually, a lot of Kenyans, the public opinion in Kenya has turned against Kenya's military presence in Somalia. The majority of Kenyans now are calling for the Kenyan government to withdraw their troops immediately from Somalia. They see this as the only way to protect the people of Kenya from Al-Shabaab attacks. Even opposition leader Raila Odinga and his deputy Kalonzo Musyoka had a press conference in Nairobi calling for the immediate withdrawal of Kenyan troops from Somalia. So the troop deployment is now extremely unpopular, even among the Kenyan population, who are calling for a complete and total withdrawal from Somalia. And they say that we should not interfere with Somali affairs. They are saying that we should let Somalis sort out their own security problems.
And this has had a huge backlash on the Somali Kenyan population. Yes. There is a huge historic Somali Kenyan population. This is not, this is not even like, recent and, from the 80s or the 90s after the fall of the government there, but this is, it's been kind of a historic conflict. And just having been in Mombasa, for example, a couple of months ago, and the heightened security in terms of just even moving around, and especially if you if you look like you're Somali, you're in trouble.
All of it. Like, the northern Kenyan, actually, there's a territorial dispute between Kenya and Somalia about the northeastern region, which is inhabited by close to 2 million people of Somali descent. And this area has suffered historically, first under colonial repression, and then under successive Kenyan governments, where people are simply singled out for their ethnic background. And it's not just Somalis. You mentioned the coast region. Muslims in general are also severely repressed by the Kenyan state. And that's why that in the northeastern region and the coastal region of Kenya, there's a lot of tension, and people see the Kenyan state as the main oppressor, the primary oppressor. And like you said, wherever an attack like this happens, any Al-Shabaab attack, there is a massive, massive backlash. We saw after the Westgate attack in Nairobi, there was a huge security operation targeting many Somalis, but also Muslims, in which the Kasarani Stadium, National Stadium, was turned into a concentration camp where people were kept, including women and children, in the heat for months. So people, and this security crackdown has been going on since then, and now there is a sense of fear among the people, Somali ethnic people in northeastern Kenya, but also in the coastal region, that there will be a further backlash based on what President Uhuru Kenyatta has been saying in the last 2-3 days. He has promised a severe retribution, and he even said that some of the local people were embedded in this attack. So So that will be now another pretext to carry out a massive crackdown that will target innocent people. People are routinely arrested, detained without trial. They are beaten, they are tortured, and in some cases, people are killed. In the coastal region, and now even in Garissa County, there's been a lot of extrajudicial killings going on by Kenyan security forces of people who are primarily Somali ethnic or Muslims. There were a lot of summary executions of Muslim scholars. Up to 15 Muslim scholars have been assassinated in the last 3 or 4 years. And everybody knows that the government is behind it. So it is a very heightened and tense situation for the people of northeastern Kenya and the coastal period. Like we said, it is a police state in those regions. There is a lot of state repression going on against Somalis and Muslim communities.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it is like, I mean, and it comes and goes in places like Mombasa, for example. You cannot circulate. Like, you can't move without your passport. You can't move without being stopped, like, twice a day. It's really, I mean, it really is a heightened police state, you know, and like constantly being, you know, observed and profiled. And it is difficult, even in cities where you wouldn't necessarily expect that to be happening.
Exactly. And in Mombasa also, mm-hmm. there are many times where security forces have raided mosques in broad daylight. Even in one of the mosques, Musa Mosque, there was some shooting. They killed people inside the mosque. And this is completely an attack on the Muslim population. And we see people being arrested and detained without trial. A lot of Muslim youth being killed, scholars being killed. Now, in Mombasa, even some groups have formed a militant group, the MRC, the Mombasa Republican mm-hmm. Council. It is no different than what happened in the Niger Delta.
Yeah.
They see that if they don't fight back, they will be obliterated. Mm-hmm. So, and they are calling for the coastal region to break away from the rest of Kenya. In the northeastern Kenya, it's even worse. People can move around. There is military presence, if not even police. Military are deployed all over the place. People can't move around. Everywhere they go, they have to produce the ID. If they don't have the ID, they are arrested. And now, to make it even worse, a curfew has been declared in 3 counties bordering the Somali border. That is the Garissa, Wajir, and Mandera, and Tana River counties. And all these counties, the Garissa, Wajir, and Mandera, are all primarily ethnic Somali, while the Tana River is mixed ethnic and Somali, but also Muslim. So all these counties, they have declared dusk to dawn counties indefinitely in those 3-4 counties. And this means that security forces will move in and brutalize the local population in the entire region. So it will be a more and more worse scenario going on there in that area. And a lot of people in the region will say that they suffer even worse from state terror than from Al-Shabaab. And this state terror has been going on for decades now. There have been the cases of Wagala massacre in Wajir that is well documented internationally, that took place in 1984. There was the Garissa massacre in 1980. Both those massacres, hundreds of people, civilians who were killed in cold blood by Kenyan security forces. So it is a very, very difficult situation on what's happening in northeastern Kenya and the coastal region of Kenya.
And just in the last kind of 5 minutes that we have here, I wanted to speak a bit about the global response, or, you know, the lack of global response. So there's been, you know, a bit written about how, you know, this massacre was met with such a quiet international response compared to, you know, what happened in France and that satirical magazine,
yes,
Charlie Hebdo. And so, I mean, and even like you know, floating around Facebook, people are like, I didn't hear about this, you know? Like, it's really kind of stark in the response. And it is a kind of, like, way of saying what lives matter and what lives don't matter.
Exactly. It is a very racist, and it also shows colonial mentality that the lives of other people of color doesn't matter, and that only the lives of white people, and we see white privilege in this as well. So when something happens, like in Paris, 5 or 10 people are killed, then there is a global response. And then you look in here in Garissa, 148 people killed in cold blood. We have seen in Nigeria also Boko Haram attacks, a lot of people getting killed. Even the genocide in the Congo, where 5-6 million people died between 1998 and 2003, there was even denial that it took place. So it is a very, very sad situation to see that when atrocities like this happens, the so-called international community led by Western power, they take a selective approach and focus on what happens within their borders, but completely ignore atrocities elsewhere. It is because, in the first place, all these Western powers are responsible for these atrocities. People are dying because of their so-called war on terror, and they are the ones who are finances all these despotic, brutal regimes. They are the ones who are financing those wars in the Congo. So they have a hand in this mass slaughter taking place in Africa and elsewhere. And that's why we see this deepening silence and sometimes even denial, like we saw the genocide in Congo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Fareed, I'd really like to thank you again for coming on the program. You're definitely a part of the Gorilla and Amandala family, as obviously a former host. But is there anything else that you would like to add to our discussion that maybe we haven't discussed?
Okay. People, I know throughout the diaspora, I'm sending this message specifically to the Kenyan diaspora, but also other communities as well. I know the ongoing events, public events, in honor of the victims of the Garissa massacre, which is very good, I think, important, and they should be commemorated because it's a sad situation for many families in Kenya who lost their loved ones. But I also call upon the organizers of these events to put the spotlight on state terror in Kenya, the abuses that the Muslim and Somali population are suffering in Kenya. I think this one should be discussed as well. When there is a demonstration against Al-Shabaab, it should also be equally be a demonstration against state terror in Kenya. So that is a very important message to everyone, to all peace-loving peoples.
Great. That is a very excellent way to end. And we should have you back on the show to speak about specifically the Kenyan state terror. Like, there have been security bills that have been passed in the past couple of months, like, just kind of like so rapidly, without any contestation, without a chance for debate. It is really becoming a scary situation in terms of Kenyan state terror.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's getting it's a form of state terror you can see anywhere in the continent. Mm-hmm. It is very brutal, and we've seen brute force being used against targeted populations. So something needs to be done to highlight more about this situation, raise public awareness, to defend the innocent people, civilians who are under siege in Kenya and elsewhere in Africa.
Great. Fareed, thank you once again for joining us, and we will be speaking with you soon.
Thank you very much, Omar. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye-bye. And that was Fareed Omar, our resident East African correspondent, as I like to call him, and our football expert. Same guy.